Aloha, it's Clint Hansen with Maui Luxury Real Estate, and you're listening to Maui Real Estate Radio broadcasting on the KAOI Radio Group. That's at 11:10 a.m. if you guys are listening on the radio, but of course, a lot of people listen to the podcast. You can listen to this and all podcasts at MauiRealEstateRadio.com or get it wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, I have my ever ready Byron Yap, my co-host. Byron, yeah, big changes. I know it's been a little while since we've done a show, since summer's been keeping us busy, but tell me about your moves, my man.
Yes, I moved back to American Savings Bank. They had made a lot of changes internally, and so decided to take the advantage of that, and it's really good. Been here since beginning of June, so look forward to it. And I'm especially excited today because we've got a great guest.
Yeah, well... Before we get to the guests, I want to ask you, why couldn't they just give you your old email address back? I still got that programmed on a bunch of things.
Oh, I do have it. Yeah, I think you're using the other one. It's still the BYAP at ASBHawaii.com. It's
there. I have two ASB ones, but anyway, yeah, I've been using the new recent one, so that's good.
Well,
but, I of course want to talk to, we both do, Nicholas of Maui United Way. I do talk about Maui United Way pretty regularly, but mostly through one of their affiliate friends, Friends of the Children's Justice Center. But Maui United Way, of course, is one of the big brothers, big parents of helping them out. And people, you know, it's important that you have different networks to go through for help that's available. And we wanted to talk a lot about Maui United Way and all the important stuff that they do. So you want to introduce yourself and tell us about how you've been working and what your role is there and what Maui United Way does.
Absolutely. And thank you all for the warm welcome. And of course, I got to give a shout out to ASB and HEI and HECO and the whole group as a strong foundation within the social sector and specifically as a partner of your Maui United Way. So my name's Nick Winfrey. Just call me Nick. Nicholas is like too fancy. But I'm the president here at Maui United Way. I've been with the organization and on island for just under 5 years, but feel like it's definitely been hyper, I guess, fast forward with the pandemic as a good portion of that. But we here at Maui United Way, you know, since 1945 have really been kind of that safety net and 30,000 foot overview of the nonprofit sector. You know, for over on nearly 80 years, we really allow the community to invest in really the needs that are required most within the sector. So, you know, a lot of our funding is through Workplace Campaign, but our grants that we give out in partnership with Friends of Children's Justice Center, with Aloha House, with Maui Mediation, with Lanai Kina Ole, all of these partners in the past are decided upon by your listeners, right? And our community members. So that's really the big impact that we have as far as providing what's needed most at the right time and having the best kind of bang for the buck on those investments of social dollars. But then of course we fill those gaps in other places as well, like our partners at Children's Justice Center and the Holiday Toy Drive, as well as the Tools for School Drive that we're operating right now. So Keiki are a big portion of what we focus on, along with education, kind of economic mobility, as well as the healthcare within the sector.
Now, the kids are going back to school. You mentioned the kids to school drive. Can you explain that? Because, you know, we're heading right almost into school. What is that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great question, Byron. You know, the Tools for School Drive at your Maui United Way really does focus on providing the much needed resources for Keiki to get started off right. So what we do as kind of a 30,000 foot view of the nonprofit sector is play that role of collecting as much as we can based on the needs in the community. We've got great kind of students that do their high school projects with us. They end up managing it. So it's kind of this win-win that they get to understand giving back into the community, but they're able to allow us to really fill every gap needed within that space. So if it's Sharpies, if it's backpack, even if it's slippers, right? Like, we've got you covered. So what we do is with our partner agencies and non-partner agencies, those are the nonprofits that we work with, like Friends of Children's Justice Center, we ask them, what do your clients need? So we're making sure that we target those that need it most. They give us a full list and then we pump out those supplies. So whether it's in East Maui, Central Maui, Upcountry, Lanai, Molokai, all of the supplies get to the partners to really get it to the community members that need it most. So we're not really acting as like, hey, come to our office and get school supplies, is all of the nonprofits, we're providing them with the support that they need. So kind of a consolidator of efforts to make sure that those that need it most are getting it.
That makes sense. Now, one of the questions I always have is, where do you see the most need? Because, you know, I was always surprised to learn, you know, how much help we give out to Molokai. You know, there's a lot of outreach programs that goes out there to help, you know, at-risk youth and things of that nature. And I just wanted to know, where do you see a lot of your resources getting pulled towards?
Yeah, that's a great question. I appreciate that, Clint. And there's so many needs right now, it's tough to focus on one, to be honest. I think coming out of the pandemic, we saw such a widening of equity, inequity within our community. You know, if you're looking at some studies that United Ways do, it's called ALICE. It's Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Yet Employed. It's a really data-driven resource that allows us to measure really who is right above that poverty line on the cusp of falling into poverty. So one paycheck away from falling into poverty. You know, Maui County has the highest in the state and one of the highest in the nation at about 53%. So more than half of our population is one paycheck away from falling into poverty. So when we look at what are the most pressing needs, I mean, that's a very difficult question, because I could say, what is the most pressing need that we need to close for a 30-year plan to make sure that we have more equity? Or what is that most pressing need of, okay, I need a tourniquet, I need to make sure that we fix this right now. And I'm a former Marine, so it's usually band-aids and bullet holes, right? Like that's the mentality that we talk about. But you know, if we're looking at the number one calls through the 211 system, which is an amazing system, if you do need support from the social sector, just dial 211. We have an operator on island. We're seeing food security, so food support, and then we're also seeing rental and utility assistance. I think I could read a lot into those numbers. Food support is one of the easier ones to navigate. There's a lot of opportunities out there. So if I need help paying my utility bill or rental assistance or things like that, sometimes it's easier to get some food support to subsidize additional expenses to where you can actually pay for those utility and in arrears. But I do know that, go ahead.
If I get my phone and can I text 211 or is I do a call 211?
You can do all of the above. So it is kind of, it's not geotagged, it's zip code tagged. So if you do have an 808 number, you're going to be connected to the Hawaii system run by our partners at Aloha United Way on Oahu. But if you do, if you are on Hawaii or in Hawaii and looking to connect, there's actually a 1-800 number that you can dial as well, or just dial 211 and then you'll be routed to our system as well. But you can text, you can email, you can go online. Or you can call. I highly recommend calling just because we have really trained operators, real people that can help navigate. Like, yeah, maybe you're looking for food support or SNAP assistance, but there might be five other things that you can actually tap into as far as resources go to really provide that safety net for those that need it most. So it's really shortening the line between those that need resources and the resources that are available.
Okay. So that really impresses me, because it's funny, I've lived here for 32 years now, and you know, worked with the homeless, worked with mentally ill, you know, Friends of the Children's Justice Center for abused and neglected kids, and this is actually the first time I've even heard of 211. That's an amazing feature. I'm going to be recommending that regularly. Thank you. This whole show has been worth it now.
That is amazing to hear, and thank you for saying that, Clint. I think it's one of those things that if you know it, you know it. If you don't know it, you don't know it. And the more that we can share, the better people can tap into resources that are available. I don't want to, you know, if I'm in need of a houseless shelter and food support and I don't know where to call, I mean, that's just going to exasperate it. And you know, during the pandemic, we saw a need for resource lists. And it's like, well, shoot, we already have one. Let's just bring an operator on island that has an empathetic ear that can connect with that. So we've got an amazing staff member here. And we get a lot of data out of that as well. So, you know, that's why when I can say, hey, the most pressing needs that I see on a daily basis, it's food security and rental assistance. It's because we see calls coming in every day that are categorized to that. So thank you for saying that.
How does that work if somebody is visiting from the mainland? Because, you know, the work with the homeless, there definitely was a group of people who would come out here with a couple of, you know, $1,000 in their pocket, enough for first month's rent, you know, and a deposit with a roommate. That roommate ends up being crazy. They start living out of their car. getting back on drugs or alcohol or something along those lines and hitting that slippery slope. I mean, how do they go about the process of reaching out to resources to maybe get a flight back home or something along those lines?
Yeah, once again, I would recommend dialing 211. We have an 800 number. Even if you're not an 808, you'll get basically into another 211 system. We have these everywhere. This is a big national United Way effort that we have. Wow. You'll be directed back into Hawaii. So if you dial 211 from, you know, a 512 area code out of Texas, you'll get Texas, but you're saying, hey, I need support in Hawaii. They're going to route you to our operating system. So, you know, that's the benefit. We are working on federalizing this to make it even easier long term. But I get those calls even on my cell phone, right? Just so you know, Clint, right? Like people know United Way, whether it's through us or through 211, that, you know, we'll point them in the right direction.
Beautiful. Now, I know there's something coming up in August. I can't remember. It's a big event with kids that I've heard about. What's it? Is it a fishing tournament or what's going on with this coming up in August?
Man, if you haven't heard, it's our annual HECO Keiki Tilapia Fishing Tournament. And by annual, it's the first time in 4 years due to COVID. But this is an amazing event over in Kaanapali. You know, bring Keiki out to the pond. Lots of prizes, great way to kind of connect and bond within the community. And we have 600 spots. And I will tell you, Byron, this is my first year participating in it. I have never seen a nonprofit event sell out faster than this event. So I'm incredibly excited and grateful for the partnership with HECO and others to be able to put this on. And I'm just excited to take part in it.
Oh, yeah, man. I noticed every time that tournament happens, there's always in the on Facebook or everywhere I see little kids with tilapias and all that kind of stuff. It sounds like a great event.
I'm excited. 45 minutes is how long it took to sell out.
That's impressive. It's too bad. You know, I do a little tilapia fishing with my daughters just for fun, and they always get a blast out of it. But we love it when there's those competitions. I'm bummed I'm going to miss it this year because I didn't even know it was coming back on. So it's going to be big, though, because those tilapia haven't been fished for a while. I'm sure there's some monsters in there.
We have no doubt. In fact, actually, we HECO, our partners at Hawaiian Electric, who sometimes they'll call Maui Electric, so I'll apologize in advance on that. We're stocking that pond even more right now. We're going to make sure that great opportunities in that space for our Keiki, and excited to grow that tournament and maybe even look beyond. You know, there's conversations about something on Molokai and Lanai as well to bring, you know, children and parents together alike.
All right. So when that comes in your entry fee, do those go towards benefiting Maui United Way?
They do. This is one of the most amazing events. You want to talk about a circular event, right? Is you're helping children get out. You're showcasing them, you know, within the community, and all of those resources and kind of, you know, funds raised from this tournament go directly back to Maui United Way and our partners. So, you know, of that registration fee, of that t-shirt purchased, you know, HECO is all volunteering their team. They have an amazing team that are, you know, dedicated to putting this on. All of those resources come back directly into the community, which is just, I mean, you want to talk about a win-win. I said earlier, and is, you know, I'm selfish, like doing these things makes me feel good. Like this is one of those things. Like, it's just fantastic.
That's fantastic. Byron, I know you had a couple of more questions lined up specifically, and one of them, I believe, was, you know, talking about all the different programs, and I'm honestly blown away by 211. I mean, the fact that I didn't know this after how long, is that like a new program, just before I move on to the next question?
So it's not a new program. So our partners on Oahu at Aloha United Way. So each United Way is completely separate, but we form this network that we all work together. They've managed that program for the state for quite a few years, but we've never had an operator on island. So, you know, someone that you can connect with and knows the community and knows the neighborhood and knows really the people. So that came on via the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We said we need somebody here to be able to kind of navigate a little bit better for us. So just for about the last 2 years, 2.5 years, we've had that operator on island, but that program has certainly been operated long-term very, very well with Aloha United Way. But we're trying to push it out more. So I'm glad you've heard of it now, Clint.
Oh, no. Now, To circle back to Friends of the Children's Justice Center, who you guys work with pretty regularly, you know, just for anybody who hasn't heard me tote before, you know, we do a ton of work with Friends of the Children's Justice Center every year. We spend a lot of time and effort running a toy drive and gathering donations. You know, every year it's, you know, tens of thousands of dollars that we are able to put together, you know, that goes directly to benefit, you know, abused and neglected kids on Maui. But one of the things, you know, why is Friends of the Children's Justice Center such an important resource compared to Maui United Way? I know they're an affiliate and helper, but from my understanding, because they're separate and they don't have any government funding specifically, there's more expedited processes, and why a lot of people will go to them immediately as opposed to more reciprocal process of going through Maui United Way.
You know, that's a great question, Clinton. And it's one of the questions that I asked when I first started this role at Maui United Way. I've been in the nonprofit sector for about 15 years. And, you know, I was like, well, what is the difference between Maui United Way and others? You know, we, for us, we take the guesswork out of giving, right? If you're just like, hey, I want to help this broader issue, that's where we can really have a compounding effort. If someone comes to us and says, hey, you know, I want to support spaying and neutering animals, I'm going to be like, well, you know, you can kind of give to this bigger fund. But to be honest, you're going to get more bang for the buck going to Hawaii Animal Rescue Foundation or Maui Humane. So I think, you know, for us, it's really educating individuals on where they want to see their investment make the biggest impact. And it's not always Maui United Way. But if you want to have a consolidated impact, sure, donate to us. You know, we've been called kind of the, you know, like a the Berkshire Hathaway of nonprofit investing. We just know really well where to invest. But like you said, you've worked with, you know, Friends of the Children's Justice Center for a very long time. You have that trust. Give directly to them, 100%. They're going to have that impact. I don't want to. There's. It creates more work when you give it to us, right? You want to see that, I say give it to them. If you want to, you know, help addiction counseling, look at the tri-agencies. If you want to help, you know, the houseless, look at Kahale'ake Ola. If you want to look at a consolidated effort and compound, you know, resources, look at Maui United Way.
Go ahead.
Do you see, Nick, you know, you were there pre-COVID, now you're there post-COVID. What is the change? Do you see more need? Do you see less giving? What are you seeing from Maui United's eyes?
That's a great question, Byron. And you know, since the pandemic, we have seen really everything get tougher. We have seen resources dry up. We've seen individuals and relationships end because people have left our community, and we've seen a higher need. We've seen equity gaps actually grow. One of the biggest things that we're seeing right now, specifically in our sector, every sector is seeing, right? It's headcount. You know, how many staff are not being, you know, employed by the state right now? I'm not even going to say the number because it's so high as far as percentages. Same with the county. For us here, what we're seeing, so I'm also the president of the Nonprofit Directors Association, so we have this bigger connectivity, is even if we have facilities, we're not able to run at 100% because there's not enough nonprofit staff right now even. So we are taking an effort to, you know, do some recruitment, look at consolidation, look at mergers, look at, you know, maybe outsourcing, look at professional development. But my biggest fear right now is really the burnout that we're seeing in the nonprofit sector that you're seeing everywhere. But it started with direct service social workers burning out, leaving. Their directors ended up working their job and their job. Those directors got burnt out. Now we're seeing the executive directors that are working those three jobs get burnt out and leave. So that's one of the bigger concerns that I have right now, that we'll have a snowball effect. But we've seen it with our doctors. We've seen it with our teachers. We've seen it. It's everywhere right now. So yes, resources are drying up, needs are growing. Right now, even the ability to provide those, even if we have funding for a staff member, it we might not even be able to operate those programs right now.
Yeah, interesting.
I call it the bottoming out of help right now. And it's a bigger problem, you know, in these high cost of living areas like Maui than it is anywhere else. Because, and one of the reasons we work so diligently trying to make, you know, affordable housing and you know, like Nahali o Maui, which is affordable housing in perpetuity, is the fact that if you don't have an option for housing, what are people going to do? And, you know, with how rapidly the cost of living has shot up here and, you know, how constrained resources are and the fact that we haven't really built anything sufficient in the last, you know, 30 plus years has all added to the fact that, you know, prices have just skyrocketed more than anywhere else in the US. So, you know, I've been trying to work towards getting more inventory on it for, you know, 20 plus years now, you know, raising alarm bells, and I'm glad to see the county actually is starting to make good strides. But at the base, you know, I'm really a strong believer in housing for all, and you know, having availability of housing is going to do more to help the average person, even if you're not somebody that needs assistance, because eventually it trickles up, you know, and it's going to hurt you when the opening positions leave and you have to do everything like you're talking about. So, and I'll have to talk to you after the show. I think I might have some resources for help for you and, you know, in order to streamline some processes.
I appreciate that, Clint. And just to reiterate before Byron jumps on, is I think there's two hubs of wheels that if we were to fix all of those spokes together would be a bicycle moving us forward, and that's housing and food security, I think, which are both to me human rights. And I think if we're able to fix those, so many other things would fall into place. I think healthcare costs could go down. I think addiction counseling can go down. So many things. But like you said, it is a very complex issue that has been worked on for a very long time. But I think more and more people, it's front and center. It's kind of slapped everybody in the face right now. So hopefully we can start addressing that a little bit better. So thank you for that.
I've got a question on your MauiUnitedWay.org. What is 30 for 30? I've heard it from other people. I went to your website. I kind of read about it, but what is that?
Yeah, so you know, 30 for 30 at Maui United Way is really a direct target to activate younger members in the community. You know, what we see within our space is people that support us, but how do we engage that next generation to get involved, get engaged, and get that good feeling that we all get when we do good? So we're activating individuals to donate $30 a month and 30 minutes of their time. You know, whether it's to Maui United Way, one of our partners, or any community group, we just want people to get out there and get activated and get that feeling. Because once you do it, I think it's really going to pay dividends long term, both for the community and individuals to, you know, to be honest, not curl up in the fetal position during this mental health crisis. It's like, you know, go out there, do good, and it's going to come back to you. That's aloha. So really looking to activate that. You know, you can tag your photos, do more good, Maui Nui. We're really looking to connect people with strong, impactful volunteer opportunities, but also that regular giving that has that compounding effort.
Okay, I gotta ask because I've heard it for years. Do people really donate vehicles? Because I see it on your website. I've heard about it on the news. Do they?
So that is a funny question. So I live out here in Huelo, and I see lots of vehicles and lots of vehicles that are left and don't look so great. And coming, I was in Australia. Prior to Australia, I was in California, and you know, we had a passive vehicle donation program. So yeah, there's an amazing nonprofit that actually facilitates this. They take a small percentage, but yeah, it's dial it up. They'll come pick up your car. They'll go through a checklist. If it's valued at, I'm not sure what the threshold is now, but it has to ship over to Oahu, and those funds get directly back to us. So we actually probably get, you know, back into the community about $8,000 annually from that in passive income. But we're also getting less cars in that second Haleakala that's getting built up out there. So it's a great win-win. Big kudos to Angela Stewart on our team for getting that set up. And yeah, if anybody does, you know, looking to get rid of that car, it doesn't have to be running. It's just over a threshold of, you know, about $500 to $750.
So people should take advantage. I mean, you just said it doesn't have to be running. You know, I mean, it's a good way to get the car off the road, get money to a good cause that goes back into the community. I mean, it makes sense.
100%. And like I said, it's less vehicles on my way into the office that I have to see piling up.
So, being that said, you know, donating vehicles, what are some other ways that they can reach out to you? What's the best option for contacting you other than 211? I mean, would you go to MauiUnitedWay.com or?
MauiUnitedWay.org, best way to do it. You can dial us at 244-8787 and we pick up that line. Those if we're not in the office, they're forwarded to our cell phones. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn as well for real-time updates. Check us out, check our partners out who our current, you know, community impact partners are. And give us a call. We always like to talk, right? And if you're in the area, stop by during the Keiki fishing tournament. I'm the guy with the big beard and big glasses. Hopefully, you know, I can say hello to the individuals that way as well.
Going through the back half of the year, okay, we've got the fishing tournament. What other events come up as we end 2023? Is there some kind of toy drive? What happens the rest of the year?
Yeah, so, you know, we have regular events throughout the year. We're going to have a really nice Mahalo event for some of our supporters. We've also got obviously our holiday toy drive, which kicks off October, November. But we're always kind of running that program if someone has the capacity to give. Our end of year giving, you know, we do target those tax donations to be able to do that. We'll always have volunteer opportunities with ourselves and our partners. Going to miss out on the parade, the county fair and that this year, but hopefully we'll get that back next year. We participate in the drive-through candy drive for the county as well. And then a couple of other unique things that we've got going on is on August 28th and 29th, we're actually going to be doing a wills and bequest day. So we'll announce that shortly. You guys are actually the first to hear about that. Mm-hmm. Our investment partners and lawyers are actually going to be offering individuals the opportunity to write their will for free. And then another day, we're actually going to be working with nonprofits and showing them how bequests, endowments, and planned giving work. So excited for that one as well. And then just in a couple of weeks, this is a really cool one. And check it out online is our partners at NASA Harvest are coming in. So, you know, Maui United Way is actually the flagship project for NASA's food security mission here in the United States. So we're collecting data. We're using AI and machine learning, satellite imagery, to map out our food system here. And the first iteration is coming full fold. So they're going to be here on island, working with Department of Ag, UH, our other partners on kind of, hey, here's what we've learned. Here's what we're doing in this space. So stay tuned for that. More great stuff coming that way.
Wow. NASA is getting on board helping Maui's food supply.
We have a year-round growing system, all of these things. So a really fantastic opportunity. So, you know, along with 211 data, right? Like individuals calling for food support. So we know how many people need food, how many people are calling for it. How much is the food bank distributing? How much does food cost? And then we have in real time satellite imagery. Okay, well, we can kind of get a sense of what's being grown. Are weather impacting, you know, yields? Are we having issues with supply chain? So they're going to be partnering with us for the next almost 5 years in building out these data systems. And because it's such a unique closed loop model here in the county, it's something that can be replicated across the world, which we're really excited for. And to train students, we've got high school and middle school and college students from UH to Mamea, Lanai Middle School, learning about this data and this software and how to use it and connecting them with these, you know, Forbes 30 under 30 doctors and machine learning individuals. So really opening up some new opportunities in partnership with UHMC and others that I'm excited for.
So Nick, what do you do besides Maui United Way? What do you do on your free time? And I guess my next question is, what made you want to be part of Maui United Way?
Thank you for that, Byron, because I could talk on that for heaps and ages. You know, for me, it's my wife and our pups. You know, we love hiking. We love getting out. I love playing golf, going to the beach, working on our small, you know, little plot of land and growing food for sure. But, you know, this is a lifestyle working in the nonprofit sector. It's something that you do always. So, you know, I do it because it makes me feel good again. This isn't, you know, always work. Yes, it can be incredibly stressful at time, but it makes you feel good. So it really is kind of a 24/7 thing. What got me into Maui United Way, I will knock on wood. My wife and I were in Australia. I ran the philanthropy program and giving program for all of Australian Red Cross and the Pacific Islands. And we never thought there was going to be a good time to do it. So we just did it. We're like, we quit our jobs, packed up the dogs, and moved to Maui. We didn't know if this was going to be our final landing place. We were looking at a couple of different areas. Went to my Rotary up in Upcountry. I was like, these are my kind of people. Like, I think this might be it. But no job. And lo and behold, the opportunity United Way came up, and it really was a blending of a lot of my passions working in support for, disaster relief, social, investments, underserved communities, really a broad space there, but also, I worked in animal welfare for nearly a decade in California. So looking at Maui United Way, I'm like, shoot, this is everything. You get to help everybody. And it's still a business. You can still, think outside of the box and close equity gaps and find bigger investments. So I crossed my fingers. I applied and I couldn't believe it. But, I was lucky enough that I landed the job. And then COVID kicked in like 7 months later. So it's just been a whirlwind. But, to be part of an organization that's been part of a community for so long, with so many amazing board members and directors and staff and volunteers, I am very, very fortunate. And I do have to commend the team and the board. Our team is the same team that I started with. It's just bigger now. So, the institutional knowledge that organization has, knock on wood, the board, knock on wood, the systems that have been put in place by, the predecessors, knock on wood. It is a well-oiled machine that I'm fortunate enough to be able to be part of and lead. So, like I said, I could brag on Maui United Way and our partners and our board and for so many different reasons. But to be part of something that's been such a big part of the community is not something I take lightly. It's something I'm very, very proud of.
Hey, going back to the 30 for 30, I'm assuming that if you go through MauiUnitedWay.org and you volunteer for the 30 for 30, there's options to choose from in terms of volunteering for your time. Is there groups that get together to, work on anything from outreach to beach cleanups? Like, how does that look?
Yeah, it's a new system for us. So, the county's got some great volunteering opportunities. They've got a great hub that we'll work with as well, that we work closely with. It's just really activating individuals and then putting out opportunities. I know we had ASB, go out to one of our partners at Hawaii Taro Farm and work on, planting kalo and cleaning kalo. We've got opportunities with Maui Farm to get out there and help, whether it's painting, it's really just a lot of different opportunities that we will make available for individuals to try to get them out there. We always want those kind of opportunities to be impactful, both for the individual volunteering, but also for the nonprofit and service. So we don't want to just say, hey, we're going to have a beach cleanup every week. It's more of like, what are you inclined to help? Is it getting with Children's Justice Center and helping out their offices or toys or, packing school supplies? Or, is it going out to Waihea and working with Hawaiian Land Trust and helping rebuild a fish pond? There's a variety of ways that really what we want to do is connect the community that is connected to that need. So it's not just a one-off. This is something that you're like, oh my God, that was amazing. I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah. So now my daughter's done a little bit of volunteering. She's only just recently turned 12 and she goes to Seabury. So, they put a large portion of putting volunteering forward. And of course, given my connection to Friends of the Children's Justice Center, we went directly to them and then she helped put a bunch of mailers together, for donations and spent stacks and stacks of envelopes and stuffing and stamps, the whole nine yards. And she really got a lot out of it. And I'm curious though, if there's student outreach programs that you guys currently do for volunteering, or if students are looking for volunteering, would you also recommend them going to 30 for 30?
Absolutely. And we're working with Seabury right now to try to get a little bit more activation in there. We work very closely with Kaimana Brummel and they've done things, amazing things with Cow Cow for Cakey and feeding Kaimana programs. I agree. She's awesome. She is fantastic. But yeah, absolutely. I think, it's let us build this together with our community and see what's needed. And like I said, it's not through us. If it's not us, just get out there and volunteer. Just give. It really does, come back 10x, within the community.
So do you see, if you were to look in a crystal ball, just roughly from what your experience has been, do you see the biggest need in Maui is going to be housing or food, or, you know, what are you seeing? It's like it's spiked up since you've been there. Is that what you're seeing, or what do you see?
Yeah, Byron. I mean, that's like what keeps me up at night. And I can go down the rabbit hole. If you're mapping out the system of Maui County and the needs, you know, there's circles that are bigger than others, but it's all interconnected, to say the least. You know, one plays into the other, one exasperates the other, one can help the other. Yeah, I think it's housing, 100%. I think it's food security. I think it's cost of living. I think it's healthcare. There's a multitude of things. But if you were to say, hey, golden ticket, silver bullet, if I could fix one or two things, it's housing and it's food security. And it's two things that are scary, but I think, you know, for me, I won't dip my toes into housing because it is such a complicated matter. I just will be on a soapbox and tell everybody that it needs support. But I think food security is the one that we can look at really well and actually fix. I think we can grow enough here. I think we can find the distribution networks. I think that we can find federal dollars, you know, in perpetuity to help that provide culturally appropriate food where needed, to make sure that, yeah, that, you know, no cake, you should be hungry, like, whatsoever. Mm-hmm. That's creating generational issues. If I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm going to school, I'm not going to learn as well. There's so many of those things. So that's why I said is I could go down a rabbit hole because it is all interconnected, to say the least.
Yeah. Now, if someone comes to your guys' location and they've fallen on hard times, if you can't help them, are you like giving a list saying, hey, go here, go there, you know, or are you just shutting the door saying, sorry, you know, like if I had a hard time and I came to your guys' location and you didn't have the services, what would you do for me?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Byron. And I'm going to be honest, is this took place just recently with a houseless individual, and they threatened one of our staff member because we didn't have the services available for them. And it was a very, very scary situation. For us, you know, we don't provide direct services aside from a few things. But what I would recommend is dial 211. 211 is the resource to go to that will connect. It's trained individuals that say, hey, try this, call this person, here's the direct line, here's how to navigate the system. Oh, you already qualified for this, you can't qualify for this, but go here. Here's the timing. This program will open up at this time. You know, for me, I know who we're funding, I've got a good sense, but I don't know everything. And it's changing on a daily basis. We have operators that anybody can get to. You can text, you can email, you can call. That is gonna be the best way to navigate the system for sure. But you know what? You can always dial our number as well. I've gotten those phone calls and I've tried my best to help out. A nonprofit called me late Friday night and said somebody had dropped off somebody in a wheelchair and they didn't know where to go. They called me on my cell. Okay, well, we're going to try to figure it out. So just know, you know, the community listening is we'll do our best to navigate it, but we need the community to be patient with the social sector as well, that it is very, very taxed. And everyone really is doing their best and having the best intentions to close those gaps. But sometimes the right service isn't available. The right person might not pick up that phone. Yeah. And that's what scares me and keeps me up at night, Byron.
So 211 is probably the best resource that someone could to at least start their journey. And, you know, you can, someone on the operator or someone in the site can say, hey, go talk to this organization or that. So to me, it seems like 211 is your important thing. Is there a lot of calls flowing through there? Do people know about it?
Yeah, there are. And we actually have a website called Hawaii HI 211 Counts. And we have real time kind of metrics about who's calling, where they're calling from, and what they're calling for. And yeah, we see that. And that's where we see trends and where to focus those efforts. I meet with our operator on a weekly basis to see what her pulse is, to see what her finger on the community pulse is. You know, it's like a few weeks ago, they're saying, hey, nobody's picking up from the state and SNAP, you know, basically to get your resources, you know, recharged for food. Nobody's picking up to be able to process that. So hearing that, okay, well, I'm going to go reach out to Governor Green. I'm going to reach out to our councilman. This is a huge thing. So yeah, 211 really is that connector. Our Fed, I was in DC a few weeks ago, Senator Chott, Senator Hirono, Congressman Case, Congresswoman Takuda, they look at that data, right? So the more that people understand that this resource is here and what those needs are, the more resources can come to who's providing those. You know, if I go to, you know, Senator Schatz's staff and say, hey, this is what we're seeing, you know, what are you guys working on? They listen. And that's how we get more resources back into the community. So yes, 211-211-211.
So on the housing front, is there any programs that you think have some promise coming up? You know, we've, you know, put a long history of effort into Nahalio Maui, you know, which is affordable housing in perpetuity, but obviously that is kind of really idealistic and very expensive and very process oriented. And over time, that inventory will build. I've been working to try to BlackRock came in and they purchased like 234 homes from the bank owned, and then those homes are just not on the housing market now. So I'm trying to reintegrate those back in. I am really glad to see the county starting to put efforts towards infrastructure costs for developers so that they have resources. If they're putting houses in affordability price level, then they can pull from the county in order to do infrastructure and reduce those costs so we can have affordable housing. Really important. But one thing that I hear but haven't read anything official is tiny homes. And I obviously... tiny homes could be a phenomenal opportunity for housing a lot of people on a temporary or even semi-permanent basis, you know, while, you know, mobile home parks fill a very important gap in the mainland. You know, there is nothing like that available here. So I always hear like, oh, there's something on the cusp, there's something that they're working on. But despite that, if you've heard of something, sure, fill me in. But if not, what other programs are you excited about potentially bringing some housing?
Yeah, and great question, Clint. I've traveled around a bit in my lifetime, and you know, we don't need much, right, as far as space goes. And I think that there are certainly opportunities in that space. You know, I know prefab; those conversations have come up. You know, a lot of shipping issues, things like that. You know, with Governor Green's emergency proclamation, with the new GET tax, there's certain progression moving forward. I still have concerns. What are the, you know, the assurances that affordable housing is going to be built in that space? What is affordable housing, you know, in that space? Even the Nahalio Maui, how many staff do they have right now? And how many gaps do they have to actually provide? Because I work with them very closely through the Nonprofit Directors Association as well. You know, I've heard there's some unique kind of experimental housing rules that are in place, you know, different materials that can be used that are still hurricane safe, traditional building styles that, you know, conversations have arisen, you know, building up. I know that's a concern, but, you know, there's only so much space
land,
and infrastructure.
You can always go vertical. I know people don't like it, but there are definitely... you know, opportunities if to utilize land more efficiently if you just simply build up. And people don't like the idea of seeing tall structures, but at the end of the day, it is very efficient.
Well, and here's my counter. And you know, I want to make sure Evie Kapuna protected everything, but we're in a crisis. Like, we're in a crisis. Like, there is not smoke, there is fire. And there's great organizations like Hawaii Community Assets, you know, Nahalio Maui, Habitat for Humanity, Lokahi Pacific, great organizations working on these things. But this should have been done 30 years ago, because now those effects are hitting us now. You've got Kaiser Permanente building homes because they can't have enough doctors here because housing is too expensive for doctors. That says something. We don't have enough teachers. We don't have enough doctors. We don't have enough social workers. We don't have enough state workers. We don't have enough county workers. We don't have enough police officers. I mean, it is a crisis and it is a tipping point right now. And I do not know the solution. I do not have that expertise. I will just say that what I am seeing in my space in the nonprofit sector concerns me when it comes to equity gaps widening and services that we all need not being available.
Yeah.
Now on it, if I can't volunteer, how can I donate?
Yeah, look, there's tons of different ways to donate. And volunteering can be a unique word as well, Byron, because individuals with expertise in bookkeeping, individuals with expertise in social media, individuals with expertise in human resources and connections, that's volunteering as well. Connecting individuals at nonprofits with those individuals, I say that's volunteering as well. Spreading the word is volunteering. You know, saying 211 and offering up that services, that's valuable. If you'd like to donate, go to MauiUnitedWay.org. You know, $5, $10, that compounds. That makes a really big difference. If you're looking to fund a specific area like housing that we've been discussing on, look at those nonprofits. Look at what they're providing. Habitat providing, you know, resources to navigate the paperwork and sift them in the space. You know, Nahalio Maui, Hawaii Community Assets. Look at those individuals. You can donate, you know, your treasure in that space as well. Board membership is something that all, you know, nonprofits need as well. Connect individuals within your corporate space. Amazing too. So if someone says like, oh, I don't know what, you know, how to support, I will find a way to where you cannot say no. I promise you of that.
Well, I really appreciate your time today. It's been an invaluable part of learning how to help Maui and have a sustainable infrastructure in place to, you know, give support to Maui's people. I'd say, you know, obviously my number one takeaway is always housing for all. Make sure we can have affordable housing on the island. But what do you think the number one thing that the average person can do to help make Maui a better place is? You know, obviously be as selfish as you want. If you want to say 30 for 30, go for it. Because at the end of the day, you know, we need these networks.
Thanks, Glenn. And you know, one thing to leave with of, you know, ways that people can support is just do more good. Just don't not do anything. I just want somebody to do something, whether that's calling your neighbor and just seeing, hey, are you okay? I haven't seen you walk in the neighborhood in a while. We have a huge mental health crisis. You know, reach out to your local nonprofit and support and give, you know, volunteer. If you see that opportunity to say, hey, you know, I need help at the Keiki Tilapia fishing tournament, get out there and do it. You know, of course, you know, donating funds are always key. You know, every dollar that comes into Maui United Way and our sector is incredibly valuable. And we take that trust very seriously to make sure that we invest in the right way. But if I can ask for one thing, it's just do something, just do something. It does good for the soul. It comes back 10x. And it really does help.
Well, great. I mean, that sounds awesome. So basically our listeners can go to MauiUnitedWay.org. It sounds like, you know, I did a little look at it. It's got everything on there, you know, events, donation pages, grants. I mean, it's great, great resource, and it's real easy to navigate. So I'd recommend everyone, if 211, make the call if you need help, or MauiUnitedWay.org. Clint?
Absolutely. Definitely hit those resources. Put your time and effort into helping the people that you live around. If you want to live in a better place, you got to make it a better place. And that's not just about Maui United Way. That's in your day-to-day life. You see somebody that's in a rush, you know, maybe pull off to the side. You know, if you see an opportunity where somebody needs an extra hand, lay it. You see a little trash on the ground, pick it up. It's all the island that we live on, and we all need to work together to make Maui a better place. And, you know, it's you can do it, and it is self-serving too, like he's saying. You know, it makes you feel good to do good. You know, and I volunteer in very selfish ways that I enjoy. Like when I work with Friends of the Children's Justice Center, we supply a huge amount of resources to them. I think it's like a third of all the toys that they generate for the Christmas season. And I get to dress up as the Grinch. I have this awesome latex mask that makes me look exactly like the Grinch. We roll this big party where we have lots of friends, neighbors, clients together. And it's just so much fun to put on an act. We also go through Seabury Hall. We also do work at Carden Academy, where we get toys from them as well. You know, and obviously housing is a really important thing, which is why we put resources into Nahalio Maui. And it's just, there are ways that you can enjoy helping out. It is such a thrill to see that the efforts you make really benefit the people around you. It makes you feel better about yourself, and it makes you feel better about the society that you live in. So don't just do it for other people, do it for yourself. Be selfish. It is a blast to put hands on paper and, you know, make Maui a better place.
Yes.
So that being said, I wanted to wrap up the show. Again, this is Clint Hansen with Maui Luxury Real Estate, and you're listening to Maui Real Estate Radio. You're tuning in on the KAOI Radio Group in all likelihood, but of course you can listen to this wherever you get your podcasts. I wanted to, of course, thank you, Nick, for coming and helping us today with Maui United Way.
Yeah, thank you all for the opportunity to just talk story and you know, spread the word. It's just do more good and appreciate everything that you all do. And it's good to connect with you all and to know kind of the face behind the Grinch and that amazing donations and support and there. You know, I learn something new every day. And
did you get to go to our toy drive last year?
I have not yet. So I'm going to say not yet. But
you'll
I'm excited
sure to get an invite this next year. It's always at the beginning of December. You know, we send thousands of invitations out to people, so you'll be sure to get one and make sure you're there because it is a lot of fun. We have, you know, aerial acrobatics and we have great food and Mr. and Mrs. Claus is there. It's a lot of fun. So we'll make sure you're there next year. And Byron, ASB, American Savings Bank, please tell us what you're all about.
Byron Yap, just with American Savings Bank and the Residential Home Loan Division, NMLS number 860092. And I can be reached at 808-280-3491. It's a great conversation today.
Yeah, it was awesome. I always love doing these. And housing is always the first step, you know, so, and financing is always the first step to housing. So do you have any programs available right now to help those first-time home buyers?
Yeah, what we did is we released, just real quickly, American Savings released a first-time home buyer program that the interest rate is about, it's about half a point lower than the current conventional rate. So we wanted to promote, and you have to be a resident. There's certain restrictions, but we wanted to promote this first-time home buyer program for the residents to be able to get their first homes and try to help them.
It wasn't a client of mine, but I had a first-time home buyer offer come across, and they were getting 5.5% or something like that. Now, what kind of interest rates have you been seeing?
It depends. I mean, low sixes, you know, of course you can go into the fives if you pay points and things like that. Many different ways we try to shape it for the first time home buyer.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people are scared away right now because they hear interest rates are so high, but there's a lot of opportunities to buy down the rates. You know, people have been putting offer forward on a house, and instead of negotiating on price, what they do is they have the seller of the property pay down the points. So at the end of the day, it's wrapped into the loan. They've got a rate that's, you know, below historical averages. I mean, people think of the interest rate being high right now, but the truth is it's pretty much average if we've seen in a historical sense. So, you know, it's probably going to be like this for a really long time. And you got to be creative about getting a lower interest rate. And there's 100 ways to do it. So make sure that there's low inventory and they are not building houses right now. So hopefully we'll see something in the next 10 to 20 years. But if you want to buy a house before that, you know, you got to be being creative and working with real estate agents such as myself that are smart about the offers you put forward are a good way to do it. And working with lenders who know how to get it done like Byron is the way.
Yep.
So thank you again. If you want to listen to this or any show, go to MauiRealEstateRadio.com and aloha. Thank you, Nick.
Aloha.
Thank you, Byron.
Aloha.
Thanks, Nick.
All right.
It was great talking to you. We appreciate it.